Great. So this annual convention, as I said, everybody should plan on being there next year. It's going to be in May, and we have 13 people there, and they are on fire, and they are looking at this. They are, a lot of them historically have been just product, kind of go out there, share the product, share the product, share the product. Well, you should see the shift in my organization. It was like on a dime. Boom. That convention did it for every single person that came in terms of, wow, this is so awesome. Why am I not sharing the business? So there are, so I did a special 2.5 training on Thursday night out in Lubbock just to help people, train them on why the business, why you want to share the business, how to share the business, languaging, scripting, everything from A to Z. So empowering them and putting them, giving them the tools they need to take the next step. So it's exciting to see what's happening. But this organization is an absolutely international organization. So I keep calling it the National Association, but Lydia keeps correcting me. It's International Association, because there are tons of network marketers all over the world. We don't definitely have, you know, the lion's share of them here in the United States by any means. But the idea is there are tons of them all over the world, and they're making tremendous incomes all over the world. There are people that we met at this convention from all over the world as well. So we see all these very, very successful people in this industry, very professional, and it is a profession, and we look at ourselves as a profession, and we're out there promoting it as a profession, because it's about us. You know, when people say, oh, network marketing has such a bad image, I go, well, it's just that we're allowing it to happen. You know, there are a lot of problem companies in anywhere. I mean, you see Arthur Andersen going under in the accounting industry. You see massive numbers of corporations that get convicted of all sorts of fraud and illegalities every day of your life. How about the pharmaceutical companies paying $425 million bills to the federal, I mean, the you know, Food and Drug Administration because of fraud and misrepresentation and all sorts of stuff, and they don't even bat an eye. But, and we look at them, somehow we have honor for pharmaceutical companies and we can't honor network marketing. Network marketing is a profession. It's made more millionaires than any other business model, and it has it's responsible. Today, the recent number I saw was $160 billion worth of products are sold through this business model. And what an awesome business model, that there's no barriers to entry, so anyone can get started in it. And if people get the right mindset and they do the right, you know, skill testing, right? Focus on your mindset, your skills, and they're hungry enough, any one person can become a millionaire. Anyone. And that's such a neat opportunity. It's so much better than the lottery, right? It's just, and it's a blast to do it, because in order for you to become a millionaire, you have to help others virtually become millionaires. In other words, the whole concept is, as you sow, so shall you reap. It's very, very, very strong Christian values, Christian concepts in building network marketing, if you do it the right way. Are there people doing it the wrong way? Absolutely, just like any other industry. Network marketing isn't protected against, you know, scavengers out there and people that are a little sleazy and whatever. We see it everywhere. But I could tell you why never to go into law, and I could tell you endless stories about that profession. So, and some people have no problem respecting lawyers, but they have a problem with network marketing. I kind of giggle because I find that fascinating. I'd much rather be a part of this profession than the legal profession, 10 times more, because of all the benefits out of network marketing. So be proud of it. All right, so let's run through the people that were there, and I'm going to go quickly because we don't have enough time to go over all of them. And some of the people were there last year as well. So like the first guy that talked on Thursday night was Vince Pacente, and I did a huge write-up. In fact, I did an entire Monday call just about Vince Pacente and his 5 P's and all these things. So I just gave you a reference in the note, in the outline, to go back to the Mana Train, the notes from the Mana Train session of 3/18/2013. But I also give you some additional notes from him this year. He talks about getting to the point where you say, this is unacceptable. Now you're ready to move. And so many of us don't come to that conclusion. We just sell out. We settle. We're like the dog. If you put in front of a dog, everybody says dogs like bones. Well, if you put bones in front of dogs, they're going to love them. They're going to chew on them. They're going to play with them. They're going to get all the juice. They're going to break apart and get all that bone marrow out and swallow half the bone in the meantime. They love bones. But if you put a bowl of steaks in front of them and a bowl of bones, where do you think they would go? To the steak, of course. In fact, you could be happy they don't cook at your house, or you'd end up with all the bones, right? They'd get the steak instead of the other way around. Of course a dog prefers steak, but he settles for the bones. Well, why are we settling? I don't know. That's a question only you can ask yourself. Why are you settling? So, and somebody in my training this weekend, she says, well, I was taught since I was a little girl, and this lady's in her 60s, early 70s, and she says, well, I was taught to be satisfied. It's a Christian belief. As Christians, we're satisfied. Right. But that doesn't mean we don't desire more in our lives. That doesn't mean we don't want to fulfill the greatness that God created us, because God created us in His image. So I said every day of my life, even before I started Manatech, I was satisfied. I wasn't walking around this earth being totally dissatisfied with my life. But I didn't sit in it, wallow in it, saying, and this is all there is. There's a difference between being satisfied and saying this is all there is, and being satisfied and wanting to have 10 times more. And that's where I am. Every day of my life, I want to be blessed with more and more and more, because I keep having more and more things that put on my platter that I want to create, whether it's more churches, whether it's more mission work, whether it's more, you know, contributions at my church, helping build a new building, whatever it might be. There's constant demand. And I don't. If you're active in this world, there will always be constant demand on you for more contributions. And if you have a heart and desire to make a difference in this world, we can only make the bigger the amount of cash we have and resources we have, the greater the difference that we can make. So he's just saying, get to a point where you go, this is unacceptable about your life. Say that moment that you decide it has to be different. That decision is so crucial for each and every one of us to make. If you don't make that decision, then you're not going to be able to play full out in this industry. And he says, playing full out is going to require the ant and the elephant to be in alignment. He talks about our conscious and our subconscious. And, of course, again, go back to that Mana Train training I did. That'll give you a lot of data behind that. But he talks about the elephant buzz. Our ant is our head. That's our conscious. And our elephant is our subconscious. So how the heck can an ant ride on top of an elephant and dictate what direction the elephant's going? That's like how you try to lead your life. You put in your head you want to do Manatech, but your elephant is saying X, Y, Z, A, B, C, and whatever else it's doing, and guess what? You end up not doing it. How many times do we have plans and they never pan out? How many times do we commit and it doesn't work out? And how many times? Because really the decision isn't being made in your conscious, it's being made in your subconscious. So we need alignment between the two. And he talks about this being the elephant buzz. And the little gold dots, that's another great story. Again, go back to last year's training, I won't get into it. But using gold dots to just remind you and give you that, because I've got a gold dot on my computer, I've got a gold dot on my phone. And you know what? I still had those same gold dots going on for me, except on my phone, Lydia changed out my phone and we didn't put one. But my computer still has the gold dot, and I put a new one on my phone, and there's one on my mirror in my bathroom, because when I look at that gold dot, it means something to me. It's my vision of what my future is. It gives me that elephant buzz. It says, whoa, because it's a constant programming of my subconscious to keep my subconscious on track so it knows exactly the direction I'm going. And important for us to do that. And I loved what he said, like that when he talked about becoming wealthy. He says, your character is revealed by the decisions you make. I love that comment, too. Big, big, big. So Vince was once again awesome, as always. I always enjoy hearing. And he did tell his skiing story about speed skiing and going, I don't know, 145 miles an hour down a hill, and, you know, how incredible rush that is. And we should have those rushes in our life. The second speaker was Darren Falter. He was came out of Yoli, and I think this is the only one I really talked about. I left those out, and I apologize for putting that one in there. We really don't talk about, and he didn't talk about it. We were researching where everybody, what their network marketing company was, just out of curiosity, because every one of these speakers, none of them talked about what company they were with, because that was inappropriate. This whole convention was, you know, probably people from 60 different network marketing companies. By the way, at this convention, there were twice as many people as there were last year. And next year, they're projecting 5,000 people at the convention. That's huge, or some outrageous number. So it's going to be great. So it's, you know, they're just continue to grow it. But Darren Falter talked about rules critical to preserving. But one of my favorite comments he made was DKC, drama kills checks. So I just invite you to look at your life and your coaching calls and your downline and say, where's the drama and why am I getting involved in it? One of my people today who heard me talk about this last week, she said, Mary Jo, I spent the whole week last week cutting all the drama out of my life. And it means really evaluating the people in your life that are creating the drama around you. And that means the people in your organization that keep telling you that they're going to do the business and they never show up. And then then you have to listen to the 18 reasons why it didn't happen last week or the week before, the month before, or the year before. But you keep fighting for them because somehow in your heart of hearts you want them to work out so badly, but you're just wasting your time. Drama kills checks. They're great people out there. They're gold bars out there. Go find them. Yeah. Instead of trying to convert somebody that hasn't proven they're going to do anything for the last 5 years in network marketing in your business. What's still going on? Can they be your friends? Absolutely. But don't get caught up in all their stuff, right? Drama kills checks. Sarah Robbins spoke next. She was terrific. And you guys know Sarah like the back of your hand because I've taught her book and I've taught her recruiting on social media. So I've done a lot of work around her because I think she's adorable and she's just she's a big asset for our business, our entire network marketing industry. She's an incredible asset. And a couple of things new for me that she talked about. Number one, she said my number one attribute was I was coachable. So it wasn't about that I was personable, because she was very shy. It wasn't that I was good at closing or I didn't develop all this. I didn't have any skills in network marketing. She's her number one attribute, shall I say, is she was coachable. But this is another thing I found out about Sarah. She went to a network marketing convention where there are a bunch of professional network marketers, and she had her team, like 8 members or 10 of her team out there, and she met Donna Johnson, who is the number one distributor. She has 85% of all of Arbon distributors underneath her in Arbon. Do you think she's worth a lot of money? Absolutely. And she was a classic daughter in a family where the man left the household. She got divorced when she was young, had a bunch of kids herself, I think 5 kids herself, no college degree because she was always told she wasn't college material, and she started doing network marketing at the ripe age in her 20s. And now I don't know for sure, but she looks, excuse me, she might be late 40s, early 50s, so she's been doing it for 25-some years, maybe 30 years. And she has 85% of the Arbon associates underneath her. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? But the neat thing is Sarah Robbins, little Sarah Robbins, shy Sarah Robbins, went up to Donna Johnson, totally different business, in fact, competitive business, because both of them are in skincare products. And she said, Donna, she says, I know you live out here in Arizona. Is there any opportunity that you know, my 10 leaders and I can come over? We are so hungry to learn, and you are so awesome. And Donna invited them all over to her house and spent a day with them. That's what I'm talking about, this association is about. Isn't that awesome? These people aren't even in our organization. They do competitive work. It's like us inviting people from Juice Plus over because they want to learn from you because you were so successful. That's the heart and passion of this association. It's the heart and passion of our industry, fighting for our industry. Not about our company, but our industry. So that was really cool. She talked about, I put a quote in here. I want you all to think about it because it all gets back to what we talked about with Al Schreider last week. And I hope if I emphasize it every week, maybe we'll get it in our heads. But she said, sift and sort until you find your leaders. If I told you that you have 4 golden bars buried in your backyard, I sure hope you'd keep looking until you found them. Right? That's what we have out there. There are 4 golden bars out there. And I would sure hope you keep looking until you find them. And that's the way you look at it. Because there are leaders out there to be found. We just aren't finding them, so we just got to keep going. And one of the reasons we're not finding them that came clear across a lot of these people is that we continue to go out and sign up 2s and 3s instead of 9s and 10s. If you want to create greatness in your organization, you need to go after the greatness. That's why we build chicken lists and then we go after them. There are people that we're maybe intimidated with, but you know they might be in a higher educational bracket. They might be better marketers than we are, all this stuff. Those are the ones you want. But those are the ones that intimidate us and we stay away from. Well, stop it. You're booby-trapping your entire own business. She gave a whole laundry list of what she does to find people. I typed that out, and so you can just look at that. I don't need to review all those things. I just gave them to you because it was interesting, all the areas that she does. She agrees that accountability is crucial. If you don't have a mentor or accountability partner, you'll never make it in this business, so make sure you have that. And she said, always have a tracker sheet daily. Keep track of it daily. How many new contacts are you committed to? How many follow-ups? How many times are you going to touch somebody in your team? So she says 3-2-1, or if you want to go on the fast track, do 5-3-1. But build it and follow it. And this was huge for me because I don't really do this. I don't have a standard, and I'm going to start doing it. Lydia and I talked about it. We're rebuilding our organization into being an active, growing organization every day of the week. Every day of the week. No matter what else is on the agenda, every day of the week. And she made the comment, it's easier to give birth than to raise from the dead. What does that tell us? If you're relying on reactivation, stop it. It's easier to give birth, so go out and find new people. The next speaker was Sean Aker, and he was, like, off the charts incredible. And I think I've already done a review of Sean. His book is The Happiness Advantage, and it's just incredible. I attached to the outline the TED Talk where you can actually hear some of his talk that he gave. I played this on Thursday night at my training when I did my business training, and I think half the room asked me for the link so that they could go back and watch it again and use it in so many ways they thought about using it. But I put the notes. These are really flight team notes because we reviewed it on the flight team last Wednesday, and I know Bob wouldn't mind if I shared with all of you. But they're awesome. The notes on here, points to remember, practice the positive, what happiness is not. It's not that we're blind to negative. It's about being able to manage negative. It's not irrational optimism. Some people go, oh, you're just so superficially happy, Mary Jo. And really, personally, I can tell you, I don't remember anyone saying that to me. I remember maybe once in the last 20 years, somebody came up to me and said, you know, your happiness just makes me kind of irritating. You know what I mean? It was really funny. I think it happened about 18 years ago. But, you know, there are going to be people that are naysayers out there. It's okay. But my happiness is not based on anything except for God, for my life. And there's no way I can be unhappy in my life. I mean, I can have things that bug me and things that bother me, and I spend a few moments in refocusing on what is the joy in my life, and that's the joy. And then what I create in my life brings even more joy because of the inherent joy I have in my life, the ability to create so much more. So happiness is really begins with an assessment of the present but maintains the position that we're not victims. We can exert total control over our own mindset. So it's about choosing happiness. And the three greatest predictors of success, which I think are so powerful, is optimism, the belief that my behavior matters, strong social connections. Remember, we're all about relationship, right? We're all about people and relationship. And a mindset that perceives stress as a challenge rather than a threat. Most people look at stress as a threat when truly it's merely a challenge to overcome. And he goes on to some other things. That three conclusions he drew in his presentation were, number one, happiness is a choice. Number two, happiness spreads. And the third one is happiness is an advantage. So those are the three conclusions that he drew. So the 21-day challenge he brought up, and I actually made a chart for the 21-day challenge. He says over a period of 21 days you can create, and he's done this. He's done test studies of this at like 20 different companies, and he found it to be absolutely true. They had measurements that they used and results. Federal Express was one of the companies. That if you do these five things for 21 days straight, you'll create an incredible uplift in happiness in your life. So I gave you a copy of the chart that Lydia provided. I had her put this together, and I just challenge you to do the 21-day happiness challenge. And definitely go and listen to Sean Aker's TED Talk because it's awesome. So he was just great, another great guy. Rita Davenport was next. She just gave us a lot of helpful hints, but she did it in an incredible way. She's a comedian, but she's also an incredible, successful network marketer. And when she was asked, she just gave you questions about when people ask how your business is, you say unbelievable. You always want to build positives, always come from positive. And she says how important it is for us to praise our leaders and our people underneath us because they all want to be, you know, they want that endorsement on, you know, their edification. And that's what we always talk about. The industry is full of edification. We edify everyone. You are what you believe. We know that already. And by the way, Rita's going to be at Manifest. So get another great reason to be there. She had the whole place rolling around laughing every single time. She would crack jokes about everything from A to Z, and she was absolutely terrific. And she said, this is a heart-to-heart, belly-to-belly business. You have got to want it as bad as air to breathe. So some of you could look back and say, well, maybe it's just I don't want it enough. Great. Then you can be in it for a social reason. You can be in it because you love the cause. But I want you to want it enough that you build an incredible business so that you have the flexibility of doing whatever God lays in your heart. And that's what I want for all of you. But you've got to want it as bad as you want air to breathe. And that much makes a difference for a lot of these people that are tremendously successful because they had such a huge why. This is the why, right? Okay, next was Josephine Gross. She was awesome. And she talks, she's a co-founder and editor-in-chief of Network Marketing Times, and she talks about the rising economic power of women and gave a lot of book suggestions. You'll find those throughout the whole outline. But the neat thing that she talked about is that this group of people associated with a university did a huge study on what are the characteristics that are most necessary to meet the current world needs. Okay, so they all sat down in a huge powwow, and everybody developed their own list of, and then they negotiated, and they came down with a short list of what are the most important characteristics we need to tackle the current world problems. Then they also participated in doing what are the characteristics of men, and what are the characteristics of women, and they did lists of that. And you know what they found out? The list of the most important characteristics necessary to meet our current world challenges were virtually identical to the characteristics of women. And she gave story upon story. She talked about, I think it was either Uganda or Rwanda, I think it was Rwanda, where they had such massive slaughtering of the people there, genocide and everything, and they needed a total change around, and they decided that decision was made in their country to give women the right to vote. And from the date that happened, 85% of the people now in making decisions for the country are women, and the country immediately doubled the amount of money they put into health care, and the country is doing better than they ever could have projected. Because so many of the values of women about nurturing and taking care of people and the family values came of highest importance in the community. Muhammad Yunus, this is a great fact that she brought up as well, in his microloans, he said 96% of his borrowers are women. The money going to women brought much more benefit to the family, and that's pretty self-evident. Women use money for family security. Men use it for adventure, risky investments, and individuality for the most part. Now, this is not everybody, but this is a generalization of what they see worldwide in all the studies and everything they've done to show this. And Josephine was awesome in all this information. And I believe isn't there a Network Marketing Times, Lydia, that dedicated to the power of women? And the important thing here, people, is there are three major trends in our society today. Social, we're becoming much more social through all the Facebooking and the Twitter and all the things going on. Transparency is demanded today, and connectedness. The law of the connectors. Connectors are the ones in our economy that are going to make all the difference. These are all three feminine characteristics. So great, great, great. Good to get that. Maybe get a hold of that Network Marketing Times as well. And she gave a couple of, I'm going after both of the books she gave us, Influence and Half the Sky. Orrin Woodward was next, and Orrin's been at Hawaii. He actually spoke to the presidentials 1 year in Hawaii. He's a network marketer, been around for years. He's doing phenomenally well. I believe he's an Amway distributor. He's got a number of books out there on leadership. And he just gave us a bunch of concepts. Most men lead lives of quiet desperation. And that's a statement that might hit home to you on the call today. If it does, why not opt out? I mean, remember, let's go back to the first page and say, when Vince Pacenti says, "This is unacceptable. I would find a life of quiet desperation to be totally unacceptable." And the only thing holding you back is Y-O-U. So make a decision, right? Make the decision. It's not going to be your life. He talked about the rungs on the ladder to climb up, and he says you can climb up the right ladder or the wrong ladder. Either one will create the results in your life. Most of the people are going up the wrong ladder. And he says, "I don't care." He said, "I'd rather be the worst person on the best ladder than the best person on the worst ladder." I thought that was good as well. He talked about how he shares with people, and he says, "I don't really share my plan, my business plan." He shares the concept with people about the concept of working 40 hours a week for 40 years to retire and make 40% of what you made, the 40-40-40. He loves to share that principle with people, and that seems to cause people to be on fire today. I think it would. I think it would, because most people can't even survive on what they're making today, no less 40% of it, right? Your team will only duplicate you, so before you start messaging it, why not start modeling it? I love that. What does it say? Leadership by example is the number one way we lead. So rather than marketing all your ideas so it's duplicatable throughout your downline, why don't you model it first? Absolutely. People will become what you are. and that means start taking a self-analysis of where you are. The greatest leader is the greatest servant. I love this one, too. There are no big shots in MLM, just little shots who kept shooting. That might be a good quote. Sorry I didn't put in quotes, but that's some of these things in here I should have put in quotes. I didn't, but that's what, right from Orrin Woodward. And he said the number one characteristic he looks for when he's out there looking for a leader is hunger. He wants people to be hungry for a better life. He wants people to be saying this is unacceptable. I said, life is definitely, you know, I deserve better, or I will achieve better. Leadership is working on three factors, character, task, and relationship. All three get multiplied to score your leadership effectiveness and thus level of success. So we want to continue to work on all aspects of our life. Our tasks, right, become more skillful in the skills necessary for networking. We want to help build our better character and build relationship. How are we with people? We want to be relationally the best we can be. Next was Al Schrider, and you guys heard plenty about Al Schrider on my Monday calls as well, because in fact, he's the one that wrote the book review we did last week. All I did was I took out of him like some of the formulas he helped us with today. I'm not going to run through all of them, but they'll show you some more languaging that you can use. And some of it is languaging I've already taught you in other Monday calls. But he loves to go out and market, and he loves to help people be the best they can be in marketing. And he doesn't think that this industry, it has to take you 6 connections with people and 15 hours of your time and energy to get somebody signed up. In fact, he believes you can sign somebody up in under a minute. So, but he has his ways of doing it, and he sequences words. And I've given you some more of his formulas in here that you can use that will help people. So it's just about, you know, using words in an effective way. And just look through some of these, and maybe you can develop them in your languaging so that you can be more effective in sharing as well, because he does a great job of that. And, of course, all of this is part of his books. I bought his series of tapes, and we still have it. And perhaps I'll do some more training around that as we go forward on Monday calls, because he does have great, great information on languaging, and that's a skill. Languaging is part of our skill. Our recruiting is a part of our skill, and that's what he's talking about. Recruiting is a skill. We need to work on skills, because that's the most important thing that we need to develop is our skills. If we don't do that, we'll stay stuck the rest of our lives. So add to your skills, consistently work on building your skills and being the best you can be with scripting and languaging and developing yourself. All these things are important to be most effective. Kathy Robbins, she's a partner to Paula Pritchard, and of course they're multimillionaires in the Zochai Chocolate Group. She talked about most people drifting through life, missing opportunities to make their life better. And she said basically what you need to do, don't focus on your weaknesses, focus on your strengths and do more of that. And she said, talked about being incredibly shy, and she said every time she'd stand up and give, you know, talk to people or give presentations, she said she just would be torn apart inside. And she said she just had to learn to get over it. She knew that that was holding her back. So she wasn't going to let anything hold her back anymore, because she was, what? She came to the position of saying this is no longer acceptable. Leading a mediocre life is not acceptable. She wanted greatness in her life, so she went after it. And she also talked seriously about the people we approach. And we approach people, and we bring people in, and we just work on them and work on them and work on them instead of reviewing who we brought in. Are they really committed? And it's not what they say that matters. It's what actions they take. So always act, review, adjust, move forward, right? Act, review, adjust. Act, review, adjust. Act, review, adjust. We need to all constantly be in a reviewal mode. So who is it that you're coaching today or that you're hanging out with in your organization that's not producing? And maybe they're not producing because you're not producing. So the factor goes like this. How can I get people to surround myself with people who produce? I need to be the producer. If I'm not producing, no one around me will produce. And that's what creates, you look at your success tracker and you signed up in your whole organization, you had 3 new signups last month. Well, if it's only you and your organization, 3 new signups, great, congratulations. But if you have 500 in your downline and only 3 new signups, you got a problem. And it probably starts at the top, right? Act, review, adjust. And don't forget, we have an incredible gift to offer, because most people today have no savings, no jobs, no financial security. What an incredible gift we have to give them. And again, you know, It was cute how Ray Robbins went over the value of $1 million. If you had $1 million in a bank account today at the interest rates they're paying, that would pay you out about $1,000 a month in return. Okay? So it's about 1% today that you get, right? So the problem is this, that if you're only going to make about 1% on your money, right, which is about $10,000 a year, $10,000 to $12,000, what does it take to make $1,000 a month in Manatech? It takes you becoming a national director. So look at it that way. Is it easier for you to become a national director or for you to put away, tuck away $1 million after taxes in an investment? There you go. Decide. What does it look like for you? Right? I liked it when he said that. All right, next is Carlos Marin, and we've done Carlos backwards and forwards, I think, on these calls. I like Carlos as well. He does a lot of great stuff out there. You can be part. You can look at his website. I was part of his 21-day challenge at the beginning of the year. He had a great kickoff. He's doing a lot of super things out there to help other people in network marketing today. And so I just took down a few of his comments. He had plenty of them. He went on about his life and how he grew up and had nothing. I mean, most of these people talked about their lives, where they came from. And I don't remember any of them standing up and talking about they came from a wealthy family. I mean, most of these people were downtrodden people. They didn't have anything. They kind of like my background. I mean, my parents were very poor. I mean, we never went out to eat. We had, you know, carried our sandwiches, cream cheese and olive sandwiches to school every day, and all four kids. My mom did a great job, and it was just a hard life. Christmases meant one gift under the Christmas tree, maybe. It was tough. And chocolate chip cookies with one chocolate chip in each cookie. I'll never forget that. But you know, we all have different lives, and Carlos had the same kind of thing. And he just had a bigger dream. He wasn't going to let it go. So he says, get a dream, sell out the total commitment, develop a plan of action, and implement it with massive action. There you go. There's your formula. Get a dream. Notice first, get a dream. That's your why. Get a dream. Sell out to it with total commitment. Don't play halfway. Don't put your toe in the water. Jump in. Immersion. Develop a plan of action and implement it with massive action. And you got it. Sounds simple. But if it's so simple, why don't people do it? Because we got self-image problems. Because we have reasons why not. Because we want to self-sabotage ourselves. Because other people are self-sabotaging, are sabotaging us, not self-sabotaging, and we want to go victim to them because no one can control what you do. You control every day what you do. You make choices every day. It's always about choosing. It's not about have to. It's about choosing choices. So make different choices. But what a great, great concept. When the dream is big enough, the facts just don't matter. That's why we want the why to be big, because then the facts don't matter. The fact that somebody laughed at you when you told them it was network marketing doesn't matter when the dream is big enough. It doesn't matter. Fear of rejection. He talked about working on tapping. You take your hand and your four fingers and you just tap them above and behind the right ear, saying, people love to hear from me and want to sign up in my business. And then you tap over on the left side. So you do it on the right side and the left side. And that's how you can get rid of fear of rejection. It's an incredible concept. And somebody told me biometrics or something that are going on. And everybody, there's so many people teaching this today that what an interesting concept. So I'm going to do some more research on that and maybe teach that in one of our classes or Monday calls as well. But it was fascinating. You had the whole group up, getting up and doing that. And people actually registered that they felt differently after they did that. It's sending signals to the brain in biometrics. Yeah. So he's learning more and more about that because so many he knows. Every one of these people, notice what they talk about. It touched my heart because it really is, there's nothing a leader wants more. There's nothing that I want more as a leader for my organization than to have all my people reach presidential director and beyond or whatever their goal is. But why aren't they doing it? And that just destroys us as leaders. We sit back and we want it so badly for people, but why aren't they doing it? Because they're stuck. They're stuck. The fear of rejection. Fears are a huge part of it. But they're stuck because they don't have a big enough why. And they're stuck because they refuse to do goals because they say goals didn't work for me before. And I go, goals always work. It's you who don't work for the goals. That's the bottom line. Goals always work, right? I mean, you need to structure them properly so they're workable. But when you understand how to draft goals, make them potent goals, not impotent goals, right? So anyway, biometrics is just another way to help break down some of the barriers that people have. Next was Donna Johnson, and she talked about sponsoring up. We tend to sponsor down because they don't intimidate us, so we sign up the twos and the threes instead of the nines and the tens. Bo Short went over this equally as well, and it's really what we have to stop doing. Because when you sign up the twos and threes, you're going to become the drama queen of the century. Because they're going to have a million and one reasons why not. Why they didn't do it, why they didn't show up, why they didn't do their reading, why they didn't sign somebody up last week, on and on and on. Done. Enough of that. This business is about actions and results. We take actions, we get results. We take actions, we get results. Our currency is people, so pick the best and grow the rest, okay, right? Get them into personal development, things like that. She said there's a new book coming out, Think and Grow Rich for Women. It should be out this week, I think she said, so keep your eyes open for it. Clearly, it's something I'll get. Daring Greatly is her second book and recommendation, and I already gave that one to Lydia to pick up. Do the right thing in the right way for the right reason. How you do anything is how you do everything. So don't think that compromising your ethics or compromising your values over here isn't going to impact everything else in your life. It impacts everything. How you do anything is how you do everything. That's why it's so fascinating to me when people say something about cutting corners or cheating a little bit, not, you know, something that's outrageous, but just a little cheating. And I go, wow, how you do that is how you do everything. And they look, I love to use that with them. I said, did you know that there's a rule out there that says how you do anything is how you do everything? You either choose it and it becomes part of who you are, or you choose not it and then that becomes who you are. So be careful on what you're choosing and where you're cutting corners in today's world. It's kind of like, you know, from a Christian perspective, we look at, well, that was just a little sin. That wasn't a big sin. There's no such thing as a little sin. There's no difference in somebody, you know, taking extra money from a cashier because she made a mistake on your bill and you saw it, but you took it anyway. And you said, you rationalize, oh, but how many times have they gone the other direction? Wow, whoa, woo. What's that all about? We can rationalize stealing. Whoa, those little things just eat away at your whole character. The way we do the little things, the way we do everything. So keep an eye on that and see what's going on in your life around that issue, because it happens around us. When my sister shot and killed my brother, you know, it was one of the most painful times of my life. But here's one of the solutions or resolutions I came to. That sin's no different than the person that just took money from the cashier when he gave her the wrong change and he knew it. No difference. Show me in Scripture where God differentiates sins. Right? Tough. Tough concept, but it's out there. So how you do the right thing in the right way for the right reason, and how you do anything is how you do everything. Right is still right, even if no one is doing it. Wrong is still wrong, even if everyone's doing it. And she recommended that book, by the way, as well, Grow a Pear by Larry Winget. I love this one. This one you got to highlight in your paper. If the grass, you know how people talk about the grass is greener and they switch downlines and they switch organizations, like somebody in Manatech went over to Visalis because they thought it was so green. Has anyone seen what's happened to Visalis lately? It's not so green anymore. More news every day about them. But the concept is we think it's greener over there. And she said if the grass is greener on the other side, it's probably growing over a septic tank. Everybody cracked up. That was terrific. And she talked about what she does with her leaders in the first 24 hours that she meets with them. It's a great concept. Meet with them. Get to know them. Make it personal. Build a plan. But find out from them what they want. So many of us always pathway to presidential, right? Well, what if people don't want to be presidential? What if they just want to make an extra $1,000? That's all they want. Then build a plan that gets them there. So be personal and make it a personal endeavor and plan and help them set goals that are personal and meet their needs, not your needs. Manage the 4 Ds, doubts, distractions, disappointments, dream stealers. Replace them, right? First of each month, she talked about that. She has a goal. She has meetings with her people first of each month. They talk to commit goal and stretch goals. They have phone calls first of each month. Six-figure earners have the following characteristics. You can read through that and see how many apply to you and maybe tell you why you're not a six-figure earner. I don't know. It's an intriguing concept. Todd Falcone was next. He talked about 10 different concepts to teach, and I just made a list of those for you because they're all terrific and they all give you insights into what to do in network marketing and what we want to have done. To draw a line in the sand just means choose success, right? You can have a 12. He actually runs, and I actually signed up for it. It's a $499. I know it's not cheap, but I wanted to learn more about accountability because I feel that I'm taking responsibility for my organization in some of their lack of results that they're not creating, right? So I say to myself, how can I be a better accountability partner? How can I teach accountability better so people understand it? So I'm signed up for Todd Falcone's course in accountability, and it starts at right after Manifest. So I thought, good timing. I'll be in Brazil when it ends, but that's okay too. 12 weeks accountability program. So he talks about, but the draw the line in the sand is eliminate any exit option. And, you know, one of my people that was at this event, he emailed me last week. He said, we've eliminated all exit options. And I love that. That means you're all in. There are no exit options. Number two, pick a horse and ride it. That means choose one network marketing company. Be an expert on one company. Don't do multiple. Number three, surround yourself with success. That just means find people exactly like those that you want around you or you want to become. Either they're like you because you're successful or you want to become successful, you surround yourself with those people. He said you take an inventory of your friends, and it basically the five people you surround yourself with most often, that's the absolute max cap you'll ever reach in making income. Number four, you must face your fears now, and you do it daily. Face those fears. Attack those fears. Don't let them attack you and really drain you, because fears will stop you dead in your walk for success. Number five, never mess with success. If someone has a proven way of doing something that works and they're willing to show you, don't try to recreate the wheel. He said, this business, I love it. Somebody made the comment, I don't know if I came across it yet, but the fact that this business is about copying geniuses. Yeah, don't do it yourself. Just copy the geniuses. And that's why we go to these network marketing professional organizations, because we're hearing from the geniuses, the people that have done it. Listening makes you rich. So in other words, that's what I keep emphasizing. One of the most important skills you'll ever develop are great listening skills, because that will make a difference in your network marketing business. It's about asking questions. It's the greatest, that's what he called it, the greatest secret to effective prospecting is don't ever interrupt. Because every time you interrupt, you're saying the other person hears you saying, you don't care about me. That's what the other person interprets it as. You interrupt, they hear you saying they don't care. You don't care about them. So never interrupt. Always ask questions. Number eight, work with those who deserve it. And that was clear. We talked about that already. Nine is improve your skills daily. And you always want to be working on your networking skills. Every skill that's out there, recruiting, the prospecting parts of it, the listening skills, the closing skills, all of these are skills. And then number 10, you have to become accountable. And he said, this is a great concept. And I told Lydia, we're going to start doing this. At the end of every day, we're going to draw a box that's 1 inch and 1 inch square box. And inside it, we're going to draw exactly how many new contacts I made that day. How many people did I contact that day? And he had a saying, he said, double digits a day, keep the checks coming my way. So every day at the end of the day, part of your closeout process at the end of a day is drawing a one-inch box and putting a number in there. How many, myself, not other people, how many people have I contacted today? That's what you put in there. Because awareness is the first step to change. So I started that. That's my, you know, thing that we're doing right now. I started it today. We're doing it. Paula Pritchard was next. She's terrific. You guys know her. Owning Yourself is the book we reviewed last year. I just gave you some more things that she brought up. Become an expert on the invitation. You'll make millions. And she has great concepts in her book on that, Owning Yourself, understanding the business that you're in and reprogramming your head. All of that's important. Fall in love with the process, not the results. In other words, don't tie yourself and get emotional about the results. Just love the process. And she said 80% is in the preparation, 20% in the recruiting. So the preparation work, in other words, preparing yourself. In other words, not taking 10 weeks to get ready, but the idea of that constantly investing in your self-confidence, your belief, your posture, your goals, your vision, all of those things are critical. That's 80% of it. The other 20% is actually the recruiting, the invitations, recruiting, follow-up, sign-up, duplication. So too much of us put 80% in the process instead of in the preparation. We've got to invest in ourselves. We've got to become better people. We've got to, you know, make sure we're going through that self-development, because otherwise it won't happen for us. Cody Bateman, he was part of, I think You Send It is his organization. He talked about six principles. I wrote those out for you, and then six steps, and those are some of the critical things he talked about. Good guy, has some good books out there. In blueprinting, talking about our minds controlling our, you know, the results that we create. Lisa Grossman is the next one, and she was incredible. She's a gal. She's Jewish, and she was working in a business with her mom, and they ended up, her mom was doing something illegal or something, and she ended up in prison. She ended up in a federal prison camp for a year. And very bright lady. And all she did was just work on herself and work on communication skills and relationships and developing, because one person in that prison camp told her, you have one of two results here. You either, you know, basically deteriorate and damage the rest of your life, or you choose to continue growing yourself every day while you're in here so that when you get out, you're a better person. And that's what she did. She chose to do. And when she got out, it took her about 3 years to become a millionaire in network marketing. And she gave us the ABCs, and I gave you those, so you can look at those, review that. And her comment that she made, which I thought was so great, was, I won't quit until every person on the planet has the opportunity to see the value of network marketing and make a decision for themselves. That was awesome. Next guy, there are a bunch. And by the way, I left out a bunch of people. There's a tax guy. There was a accountant. There were all these people, and I left them out because I didn't. You know, we've been through a lot. Sandy Botkin, we didn't need to review him. But understand, they brought all those people to this convention. They were all there on stage as well. Harry Dent was a unique professional in that he was an MBA from Harvard, an economist. He drafted a number of books. He predicted the 2005 debacle. He predicted the 2008. He wrote a book about how the economy was going to crash in 2008. That was one of his prior books. And look what happened in 2008. Boy, was he insightful. And now he's predicting that we're going to have this incredible relapse in the economy from 2016 to 2026. It's a total economic relapse in the U.S. due to demographics, because the most important aspect of our economy is babies. I don't know if you knew that. I never heard it said that way, but Harry was terrific. By the way, he wrote the book, The Demographic Cliff. I bought it. I'll probably do a review of that on one of our Monday calls alone, because I think the material is awesome. In fact, this weekend when I was in Lubbock on Friday night, guess what was in my opportunity meeting? All about Harry Dent and a number of his charts on how he's predicting this economic fallout. 2016 to 2026, because of all the baby boomers are now in retirement. Their spending has almost totally fallen off. The only spending they do is health care and basically vacationing, if they have the money to do it. But otherwise, you have this huge 70-80 million people that are just non-consumers in the economy, except for basic goods, right? Basic things. So we're going to have a huge drop-off, and not until the Gen Y population, which 10 years later, because we had a middle generation there that didn't produce hardly any babies, did we start seeing babies produced again. So great, and in all of his analysis that he's done, he always traces it back to the babies, because it's demographics that make a difference in the economy. And he gave a bunch of key forecasts, and notice his forecasts. The weakest economy of a lifetime in the next decade, why this bodes well for network marketing, why health, wellness, and weight loss will be the strongest sectors of the economy, why this is time for people to start their own business or create multiple streams of income. All of that was part of his presentation, which was awesome. So those are the conclusions he drew. Jordan Adler was up there. He talked about finding KPs, key people. And again, going back to what are we talking about, same information we got from Al Schreider last week when I did his book review. Look for people who don't ever trust their words. It's always about actions they take. And build your legs with key people. Find people who are totally committed, all in. When they ask them, what's your commitment to this business, they say, I'm going to do whatever it takes. Right? That's what you want to hear. But again, actions are louder than words. And I'm working with some people right now in my organization with that's exactly going on. They've told me I'm going to do whatever it takes. I've taken all the exit strategies out. Okay, I'm waiting to see the actions reflecting the words. Matt Morris was there, another guy that's done extremely well. He was a hilarious young guy in his probably early 30s. And you could tell by his content of his thing, have fun, show them how to feel, be excited. They need to know you're committed. Zero emotional attachment to the outcome. Tell yourself you love to close. Mindset of closing, which is good for all of us because a lot of people on this call probably perceive themselves as not being very good at closing. That's a skill you need absolutely to develop, so spend some time developing that. Three things prospects need to know. Can I do it? Does it work? and will you help me? If you can conquer those in your presentation, guess what? You'll have a sign up. The law of compressed activity, momentum through belief, it's all about building belief. He wants people to just go out there and sign up 30 people as fast as possible so you start getting your leaders involved and then you build momentum. The last guy I'm going to talk about is Steve Taubman, and the reason I want to talk a little bit about him is because he's a hypnotherapist, and some people go, oh, hypnotist, what do we need that for, and you're hanging up on the call today. No, I'm going to tell you people, what he's doing is exactly from a different perspective, but it's something I've been preaching and teaching since the day I got exposed to Brian Klemmer and his organization. Our subconscious is incredibly powerful. It controls what we do. It controls what we become. And if we don't work on subconscious, we're in trouble. And subconscious is what was formed for us. Most of our subconscious beliefs all were formulated before we were 8 years old. So did we have much control about what was being fed into them? Probably not. It was more of our environment, our parents, whatever prejudices, whatever prejudgments, whatever, you know, issues, whatever limitations, whatever, anything in their lives, your parents built and helped build your subconscious. So knowing that we have these limiting beliefs stuck in our subconscious, we need to overcome them. Now, we can do it by making, you know, and what I do is I teach people to read books, and I teach people to go to Klemmer and go to personal development courses. Now, why isn't that working? Because people aren't committed to it. Or they go and they go with a closed mind. They don't go with beginner's mind where they open their head to hear and listen and to really absorb what's presented. If you go without being open and ready to hear and ready to just say to yourself, you know, I mean, when I went to my first development course with Brian Klemmer, I was so angry. I was angry. It evoked a ton of emotion. I was angry because I felt somebody was telling me I was wrong. I was bad. And they weren't telling me I was wrong and I was bad. They were telling me that I had some limited thinking. That does not make me wrong or bad, but I took it that way. And that's why people don't grow at self-development, because they take it personally like it's an attack on them instead of, hey, open your eyes, think differently. You can truly make different choices in your life to create different results. If I would never have gone through that, people, I'd never be where I am today. It was crucial. In fact, when I went through that personal development with Klemmer and did all that work over a period of a year and a half, I mean, my business tripled in size. Because I tripled in size, in my thinking, in my capacity, in my understanding that, yes, I am a millionaire, right? I didn't have $1 million, but I am a millionaire. I had to change my self-image. I had to get rid of the Gilligan's Islands and all the things that limited me in my life and my parents and the scarcity mentality and all the stuff that I grew up with. I can't dump that in 5 minutes. Well, this guy, Steve Taubman, has a program called Unhypnosis, and I actually purchased it, and I'm going to get it in the mail, and maybe I'll teach it on the call as well. But it's a program that he says he can help people in a 5-step system to reprogram and change their subconscious. Well, that's intriguing to me, because there are many ways of changing your subconscious. You can have a lobotomy. That works too, but it's kind of permanent. He says when you use daily affirmation, it takes 12 to 16 weeks, and they're only about 20% effective. So that's why this concept of what he calls unhypnosis, because it's about changing your thinking, changing what you've been hypnotized to believe, which is what your subconscious is all about and how you grew up. And he had some cute little exercises he did for us, and it was hilarious how nailed me. I mean, I sat there, and it was really funny. But he talks about going through this process. It's a 5-step process through hypnotherapy that after 21 days, you have an awakened mind. And so I'll be more than happy to share that with you once it comes in for me, and I'll read through it and do it myself and work with some people. I'll share it on this call as well. That's it. Oh, went 10 minutes over. Thank you, guys. I hope people learn things. Any feedback? Did you enjoy this massive quantity of information? Like I said, get your yellow pen out, your highlighter. Highlight what's most important to you, what hit home for you, but what an incredible convention. And trust me, what I did today was such a bare summary. I mean, in an hour and 10 minutes, or not even that, an hour probably, because 10 minutes we did the announcements. But in an hour, I covered a Thursday night, all day Friday, all day Saturday, Sunday morning seminar, which was incredible. So thanks so much, everybody. I appreciate you being on the call today. If you have some ideas, let us know if there's something that hit you today on the call and you said, Mary Jo, wow, this I could really use more of this. Let me know so so that we can focus on that on upcoming Monday calls, because I'm willing to train on any of these things, even including the unhypnosis, even including the tapping concept of tapping on the sides of your head and what that's all about, because I have a member of my organization has a book that's written exactly on that, and she's going to provide it for me so I can learn more and then pass it on to all of you. But if any of these concepts are important to you or you would like to learn more of, let me know, because I'm here 100% in contribution to you guys to help you be the best you can be in this business. So thanks again. Yeah.
I would really appreciate a class on this Steve Tubman on the unhypnosis. That fascinates me.
All right, great. I'll definitely do it. You can tell it must have fascinated me because I bought his stuff, right? You know that. Thanks. I'll do that. Thank you for bringing
it. Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
Hi, this is Gina. First of all, thank you for everything you just shared. Wow.
Wow, wow, it's right. Yeah.
I mean, wow. And your energy and your comments and your enthusiasm is just awesome and so extremely appreciated. Also, I was listening to Wendy's call this morning, and she shared your training about the new business building concept or system, excuse me, from the couple from Africa.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to play that tonight for my people here, and I have not been able to find it. Can you tell me where to go to get that?
Yes. In fact, I trained it. I trained that system on, go to manatrain.net, my website, right?
Okay. May 6th, 2013.
When was it?
May 6th, because it's at the top of the page. I was going to comment on that too, Mary Jo. I've had 2 hours of you, over 2 hours. Incredible. Back to back, listening on the South African how-to was just wonderful. You did a super job. And then to be able to pull all this other information, I tell you, God is just using you in such an incredible way, and just thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad, you know, all it does, you're blessing me by telling me that, because all I care, I really want to be in contribution to all of you guys, and thank you for going back, and, what a blessing is that I did that review way back when. That was last year when I know they were at Manifest, and I loved what they taught. It was just fascinating information. So, yes, go back and listen to that one. It was right after Manifest last year that I did the review of the South African plan.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay, that's awesome.
Good. Great. Thanks, you guys. Perfect.
Mary Jo.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mary Jo. Yeah, Stephen here. And the unhypnosis, I would really appreciate too, because I appreciate your the perspective, your worldview you come from. And so filtering through that, I listen to you. So
good.
Anyway.
Thanks. Great.
Yeah.
I'll do it. I'll bring it then. As soon as it's supposed to be in the mail to me. We haven't gotten it yet. And of course, they were going to ship it after, not this past weekend, the weekend before. So as soon as it gets in, I'll jump into it and we'll make sure it gets on a training probably in the next, before Manifest, we'll definitely see that. Okay? Because
I ordered it and I've got it and I'm thinking, anyway. So I look forward to what your thoughts are.
Great. Thanks. Good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Jo, who authored the Think and Grow Rich for Women?
I don't know. Did I put that in? I didn't have the author in there, right, in my outline? I just had the name of the book. So I guess I would have to find that out for you. I'll send you an email. I'll send everybody an email on who that author is. Yep, I didn't have it in there. Yeah, sorry.
And you're doing tomorrow, right?
I'm doing tomorrow. You mean Tuesday night?
The now.
The Manatech Now. Oh, tomorrow? I'm not going to be on stage tomorrow for that. No, I wasn't asked to do that. That's going to be done by probably Bo or maybe Kevin Robbins, because it's the one that's going to be broadcast. But no one asked me to do it. Maybe you're seeing something in the future. I'll get an email tomorrow morning. No, I don't think so. Yeah. But somebody else will be doing that tomorrow night. Yeah. Okay, anything else? All right, you guys, love you all. Take this information, assimilate it, and if you come up with it, trust me, if you had some other ideas and as you work through it, you come up with some other trainings you'd like me to do, just let me know. I love taking this stuff and sharing it, and any one of these speakers, I could have taken their material and built an entire Monday call around it because, it's all so insightful. They just have a lot of great information. But the important thing for each one of us is to go through it and take that yellow highlighter and really highlight things that we know are not a part of our life today. We know that there are things that, wow, I never looked at it that way. Maybe that's the difference. Maybe that's one of my blockages. Maybe that's something that's holding me back. Just grab onto it and just incorporate it into your life, because the principles, these guys, there wasn't one speaker up there that spoke during the entire weekend that wasn't, you know, hasn't made it huge in network marketing. But their hearts and their passions to help other people are overwhelming. They all came from contribution. There wasn't, I didn't see a tad of arrogance from stage the whole weekend. So that's amazing. Well, I did probably. The lawyer maybe had a little chat of arrogance, but he wasn't the network marketer. He was telling us how to structure our business and that kind of stuff. So, but the other, you know, it just was so awesome to hear these people that have done so very well in our industry and just want to pour back. They, like me, would like nothing more than to see every one of you reach the highest level in your network marketing company, which is Manatech. So let's make it happen. Okay, guys, love you all. Great to hear Wendy sharing the South Africa plan, because I know that's going to be the basis for what Manatech's coming out with at Manifest as well. So we can all get excited and get stoked about that. All right, bye-bye, everybody.